Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, the parable of the unforgiving debtor. Then Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times?" "No, not seven times," Jesus replied, "but 70 times seven." Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who has decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me, and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So this morning, from the diagram, we're still on the theme of us living in community, living with God's love. And the power in this message, is that in one sense, it's very easy to live a nice life, to live naturally, to love people who love us, and to love easy people. That's kind of easy and natural and normal. But we are not normal if we know Jesus. We are filled with his Spirit. We have the heart of God with us too. And we can live powerful lives in him. We are not normal. Now, we need God's love. We don't need God's love to be nice. We need God's love to live a powerful life. And really, just before I begin, I just want to relate a story of there was a young man called Andrew Walker 10 years ago in Liverpool. He's a young black guy, about 20 years old, and he was chased down by a young couple of lads, hit in the head with an ice pick and killed. And they had the trial, and the two lads were convicted, and his mum and family, who were a Christian, a testimony of their reaction. And Roger, if you can just pick up the slide, you obviously can't read the text, but this is from the Telegraph. And it was just coming out from the courtroom when the two guys had been convicted. She was just saying, as you can read, "I forgive you." And in fact, she said, she was questioned on the way out. She said, "Do I forgive them?" At the point of death, Jesus said, "Forgive them because they don't know what they did. I've got to forgive them. I still forgive them. My family and I stand by what we believe. Forgiveness."
And I look at this and I think, well, how would I react if something like that happened to me? And to be honest, I'm not sure any of us really know until it happens. You do know that we would need God's love to respond this way. But one thing, and this is what I want to speak about this morning, one thing we do have a choice about is we may not, and hopefully we won't, be affected as deeply as this in the short or however time in the future. But we will be hit by all sorts of insults, difficulties, and troubles. And we will be hit and abused, if not tomorrow, then certainly in the next week and month. And that we can decide how we hold on to God's love and react. Let's just pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you. You are the one who breaks down barriers. You've broken down the barrier between yourself and us, and you break down barriers between us and each other. And Holy Spirit, I pray, just come and bring your word to life this morning and speak into our hearts that you continue to break down barriers that we have raised. And also, Lord, help us to walk in love and forgiveness day by day. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, initially, you're going to wonder where on earth I'm going. Hold in there. Just a book I picked up from my mother recently is Military History of World War II. And I was reading in here of end of 1940, North Africa. The Italians looked after Libya, and Britain kind of had protectorate of Egypt. End of, in mid-1940, Mussolini had pushed some tanks just into Egypt, left them there, set up some strongholds, and left it at that. And at the December 1940, there was a British counterattack, meant to be lasting a couple of days, and we kind of snuck around the back while the Italians were having breakfast. And within 4 days, we'd gained miles, had tens of thousands of prisoners, and so on, but just kept going. And just kept it moving, and effectively, in only 10 weeks, pretty much the whole of northern Libya was taken. So there's this incredible move forward with two Commonwealth divisions, pretty much took the took seven Italian divisions, and a couple of 100,000 prisoners were taken, and so on. An immense move forward. And as you may know, there was a joke which appeared, and which is still known today, of how many gears does an Italian tank have? Five. One going forward and four going back, you see? And there's just this sense of they just retreated and so on. And it was just that weird picture that came to mind of an Italian tank when I was chewing over and praying through this message. And you think, why? It's because I recognise the natural me, the natural, normal Tim, when faced with a couple of tank shells, whether in the form of somebody's insulted me, somebody's irritating me, somebody's getting on my nerves, my natural first reaction is to slam this tank into reverse. So just recently, we've got someone we know very well, somebody's quite close to us, and I'll call her Mary, but she's not, and she was just giving Jan some unnecessary stick on the phone. And this happens relatively often. And like I think Gav said a week or two back, it's one thing when somebody insults me, somebody insults Jan, that makes me particularly annoyed. And I just watched, in hindsight now, I was watching my reaction. First thing I do naturally, stick the tank in reverse, go back. I think, right, first thing I want from you is distance. All right, just keep way back. All right, just want distance from you. And then I find myself just chewing on that. So, okay, so they've kind of insulted Jan. If you do this, or if someone insults me, I then in my head do a series of reruns. If I've lost an argument with somebody or they've insulted me, I'll just, I may lose an argument, but I'll never lose a rerun. Okay? I will always think, okay, but this would be my smart reply. Or this is how we'll pick up the phone and have a word with them. You see, and it's just, I just, sit there mulling on it. And I've kind of gone in first, I've gone, first gear in reverse, I've gone backwards, I've retreated. Now, second thing we can sometimes do, and I can find myself doing this as well, is I think it's not just enough to mull about this in my head. What I need to do is get some support. Okay. Now, this can be as simple as Tim on Facebook puts a little sad face. How is Tim today? Tim is sad. And then people, well, Tim, what's the problem? Oh, it's Mary. She said this. Oh, that's terrible. And then, before too long, not only have I retreated, I've retreated with a band of allies, and I'm feeling particularly secure. Okay? So, and, you know, it can happen, of course, in all sorts of ways, or we can be on the phone, or it's really gossip. And I can be, you know, feeling good about myself, but actually, you know, now I've got a whole bunch of people who have retreated from Mary. Now, that's one thing, and you think, okay, that makes me feel good. But actually, I can put it in another gear. And there's one thing about going backwards. Actually, it's easy just to keep going backwards. I can put it in another gear, and I can get to the point where actually I really quite dislike Mary. And I can even start to even really have a resentment against Mary or a bitterness, and I can start to hate Mary. And then I'm really moving backwards quickly, and I'm a danger to, you know, myself and everyone around me. And this is what Jesus is talking about here in this story. He's saying there is a real danger in unforgiveness. There's a real danger in just what starts like a simple move backwards can end up really, really hurting ourselves and others. And you think, well, okay, so how does it hurt us? And this is a phrase I'd heard ages back, but I'd kind of reheard it recently. And it was like, what's bitterness like, or resentment or unforgiveness like? Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that the other person is going to die from it. So it's like that I can just chew on bad things and bad thoughts. I can dwell on it. It's like, but as I swallow this, it is poisoning me, not poisoning them. They don't even know I'm dwelling on it. But it is hurting me on the inside. And in the same way, I cannot just get distance away from you and that's it. As I get distance away from you, I distance myself from others. And what the scripture is saying here is, I'm also inevitably distancing myself from God. I cannot hate one person and be close to God at the same time. And John, in his first letter, in chapter 4:20, he says this: if you say that you love God and yet you hate your brother, you are a liar. Now, this is black and white as the scripture we've been hearing in Matthew. You are a liar. He says, you cannot say with one breath that I hate my brother and that I love God. You just cannot hold the two. In a sense, I cannot be going both in reverse and going forward at the same time. It's just not possible. So if I let my bitterness towards Mary grow and consume me, it will poison my relationship with God. And it will poison my relationship not just with Mary, but with others that I come across. Now, Jan, my wife, who's away on the ladies' weekend, she's a physio, and one of her early student placements was in elderly care. And she was saying how one of the things she found was people in elderly care, if in a sense they still had their right mind, she said there tended to be one of two characters. You came across people who were either incredibly difficult and incredibly nasty and incredibly awkward to deal with. And she said they were people who tended over their lives just to dwell on nastiness. And hence, it's like, in a sense, they're stuck in reverse and they become more and more vile and nasty until they end up in a home, in that sense. But she said there were others who were just sweetness and light and who were gorgeous to work with. And she said, similarly, it's people who have been moving forward, have been showing love consistently year after year after year. And that's the danger that Jesus is warning us about here. It's a sense of we are poisoned, trapped, imprisoned, and barriered against our relationship, against God and against our fellow human being. And the unforgiveness is far more poisonous than we realize. Now, the great news is in the diagram. It's not just about our heart, our natural reaction, my natural reaction, slam it in reverse, get out the way. But we have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had both forward gears and reverse gears. And he's the one human being who never engaged reverse. He always moved forward. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach us to be the same way. He wants to teach me, he wants to teach you how to think, okay, first reaction, go forward, stick it forward, go forward. Now, I'd like to actually even be in a tank. I've never been in a tank, but I was chatting to some people in France this week, and they knew someone who'd been in a Sherman in the war and was just saying what it was like to have shells fired at you. I think the word unpleasant comes to mind. But it's that sense of, I can understand the Italians. If I had a shell fired at me, the one thing I'd want to do is move backwards and get out of the way. It seems unnatural to move forwards. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus had a lot of shells fired at him. A lot of insults, a lot of flack was thrown at him, and he only moved forward. And so what does it look like for us? This is the route that Jesus wants us to learn to take. Even if we feel we're flying backwards in reverse and we're stuck in reverse at the moment and we can't get out of it, just like we've been singing, the Holy Spirit is there, can break down any barrier should we choose. Even if we feel we've got ourselves stuck in reverse, we can be freed from that. But even right at the start, even the beginning of, I walk into the office tomorrow morning, someone insults me, I have a first choice. What do? Slam it into reverse or slam it forward? And it's like, okay, how do I move forward? The first thing is that God has actually made me powerful to choose. All right, I may be in a habit of moving backwards. That might be my kind of life experience. The Holy Spirit gives me the power to choose. I can choose to refuse to be offended. I can refuse to be offended. I don't have to be offended by somebody insulting me. I don't have to be. And in a sense, it's a bit like, don't go, you know, you can't take tank analogies too far, but there's a sense of actually, well, how God wants us to be is to have a tough skin, but to be soft-hearted. You know, it's in a sense, it can be, you know, how I react is a sense of how mature and how Christ-like I am. In fact, how I react, you know, I can be all nice and Christian on a Sunday morning, but if people insult me, then you'll find out how Christ-like I am, to be honest. But so Christ wants us to have a tough skin on the outside. People can throw things at me, but actually I can choose not to let them through, choose not to be offended. But neither does he want us to become hard-hearted and uncaring. So on the inside of my tank, I can be soft, I can be caring, but I don't have to let every barb and every insult punish me and hurt me. There is a sense of helmet of salvation, if you like. I am a son of God. I am valued. And in fact, in the story in Matthew 18, when he's talking about the judge and freeing someone up, in the New Living, it's kind of, yeah, you've been freed up from a debt that's worth millions of dollars. Actually, looking in the study Bible, it's like apparently £5 billion is the equivalent. So the debt that has been cancelled, you know, I'm a son of God. Jesus has paid, in a sense, billions for me. So I have that sense of no matter what anybody says about me, God's sense of value stuck on me is immense. And that cannot be changed by any shell or any insult or anything that anybody else thinks about me. I can hold on that on the inside and choose not to be offended. And then secondly, I can slam it forwards and I can say, okay, I will forgive you. Now again, it's easier if somebody's just called me some insulting name or has insulted Jan. And I found this, it was actually really helpful when kind of working through this and prepping it, I was brooding on the situation with Mary and actually thought, no, actually, Mary, I forgive you. I will not hold on to that. I will no longer go through reruns in my head. I will release you from this. And it was really helpful. So that's the first thing. You know, Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. Now, they had not come up to the cross and said, Jesus, can I just say we're really sorry? Actually, this whole cross thing, we got it wrong. Would you please forgive us? Now, it's not recorded anywhere in Scripture that they said that, okay? They did not come to him and ask for forgiveness. Jesus forgave them anyway. And if you wait for somebody to come to you and ask for forgiveness, you'll often be waiting a very, very, very long time, during which time you'll have stewed on it a lot. So first gear is, I'm going to forgive you. I don't care whether you come to me for forgiveness. I am going to forgive you no matter what. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. First gear, it will happen. I will not be offended. I will move forward. Not saying this is easy, but this is where the two heart thing comes in. Where it's particularly hard. It's, God, I need your heart. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to be like Christ and to move forward and to forgive. And then the second thing, in Luke 6, these are well-known words of Jesus. He says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And if we've been Christians for a while, we know this. This is just so shockingly different to what is happening in the world, what's going on in the world at the moment, to the tit for the tat. You know, if someone insults you, insult them back. Someone shoots you, shoot them, and so on. This is so, so, so different. All that's going on with ISIS and everything else. It's just react and react back again. This, yeah, we forget how radical the words of Jesus are, to love our enemies, to bless those who curse you. And again, with Mary, it was just that sense of, not only do I forgive you, but in prayer, I bless you. Now, I didn't pray this particular blessing. You know, blessing is not just our bless. This is, you know, not only do I desire God's best for you, and I will speak it over your life. And this is a blessing from Numbers that we, I guess, is relatively well known. But imagine, you just think, if I've forgotten somebody, you know, it was almost like just in praying this over somebody, you then think it changes my heart towards them. So if I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, even in just praying a blessing upon Mary, that changes my heart. You know, you even start to realize, actually, somebody throwing shells at you, it says more about them and where they're at and their insecurities and their struggles than it says about you. And I can even start to think, yeah, Lord God, would you bless Mary, the things that are troubling her and the things which are causing her pain and difficulty, and then we're feeling some of the flack from that. Lord, would you bless her and give her peace in that area of her life? And that, you know, you just think, I've in a sense known these words of Jesus for, you know, a long time. I could quote them or whatever. Just the action of blessing somebody that's hurt me is so freeing. So, so freeing. You know, Jesus knows, I say this with a smile, but Jesus knows what he's talking about when it comes to conflict. So I just want to read a bit out of Romans 12. I know I think either Gav or George has prayed bits of this, but this is, you know, so we've heard it from Jesus. This is Paul in Romans, just telling the church at Rome how to live together and work together in the midst of conflict. If people persecute you because you are a Christian, don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, share their sorrow. Live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important and enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable, and do your part to live in peace with everyone as much as possible. And at the end of the chapter, he says this little line, which is one of my favorites. He says, don't let evil get the best of you, but conquer evil by doing good. And J.B. Phillips, he says, you know, don't let evil get the best of you. Take the initiative, J.B. Phillips writes, and conquer evil with good. And it's this sense of the unnaturalness of going in first and second and third gear and blessing our enemies. is something that moves us closer to God, generates the smile of God, but it's something about taking ground for the kingdom. This is where God wants us to be, over there. We're moving forward. Something about the power of taking ground for Christ and taking the initiative and moving forward. And just before this passage in Matthew 18 is the bit where, so this, you know, this passage is a follow-on where Jesus is saying, look, if someone in the church, someone amongst the family sins against you, what do you do? And he gives three steps. And he says, first thing, effectively, take the initiative. Go towards them and point out what it is that's hurting you. Now, again, this isn't natural. The whole thing about distance, someone hurts me, the last thing I want to do is go and talk to them and try and reconcile, because that's painful. But Jesus says, yep, it's painful, move forward and do it. Sometimes they won't listen. Take somebody else, talk it through. Sometimes they won't listen. Bring it to the whole family. And if they then don't listen, then put up a barrier. Now, that almost sounds strange, you know. But the interesting thing here, Jesus is not saying it's about forgiveness, 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 and just running, 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 running. There is a wisdom here. So what happens when people just refuse, when they're so busy moving in reverse gear and so on that you can't get near them, and they refuse to listen and so on? And now, a bit like, this is not just about lock them out the door, say bye-bye, and happily, well, yeah, they're just a troublemaker, they'll be gone. Like Paul says in Corinthians, when the church puts a barrier up between somebody, it's so that that person can recognize what's actually happening in their heart and can repent. Because what's happening in their heart is poisoning them, and they need help. So this is almost like a final kind of red flag to say, you know, from the church, you need to turn around here and change direction. But also just something in our own lives. Sometimes we can think that forgiveness is all about just constantly being soft and constantly running and constantly going the extra mile. But I was listening to a talk just this week by Rick Warren, and it was just a really useful, he just made a really useful point about this, about the difference between forgiveness and trust. And he didn't quote this scripture, but the scripture, John writes this in John 2, talking about Jesus, and he said, many believed in his name, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew human nature. So Jesus was completely forgiving, always moved forward, but he didn't, it's not that he trusted everybody, because he knows what's going on in people's hearts. And there's something for us in this. There are people who hurt us, sometimes just with comments, sometimes more seriously, but there is a difference between forgiving somebody and trusting them. And Rick Warren said this useful phrase, which kind of grabbed me. He said, forgiveness should be instant, but trust is earned. And he gave this illustration, which is helpful. He said, imagine you're a woman in a relationship with a guy, and he's abusive and he's hitting you. So you get the police in, get him thrown out the house, change the locks, and he's gone. And then the next night he comes back and he's banging on the door, and he's saying, would you please, please forgive me? Now, Jesus would say, actually, however hard that is, we need to be able to find a place where we stick it in gear and say, yes, I do forgive you. You know, I don't understand all the pain that's causing you to be like this and everything else, but I do forgive you. Now, then if he says, could you please let me in? Can I stay here tonight? That's where you don't have to be stupid. He said, trust is earned. And that guy has not proved in the slightest that he can be trusted to be let back in the house again. And it's the same in all sorts of relationships. People will hurt us, and we can forgive and forgive and forgive, but that doesn't mean we have to be dumb and leave up no barriers and no wisdom whatsoever. We don't have to just lie down and be kicked over something. But forgiveness and trust are different. And I just found that really helpful. So I guess, just coming to the end now, and it's just this sense of every day We have no responsibility over what gets fired at us, whether we have a quiet day and it feels like a bit of a phony war, or whether we're under constant shell fire. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. What we can choose to do is to choose how to respond, whether we move forwards or backwards. And the Holy Spirit always wants to coach us to move forwards, even in the face of heavy fire. Now, there's one final person who's really kind of struck me recently. And it's just like, so this lady, Andrew Walker's mum, and you think, Lord God, you know, I hope that in such a situation I can be the same way. And I was reading about a guy some of you may have heard of, a German who in the Second World War, a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he was a German pastor who was arrested, and he was put in Buchenwald concentration camp. And in there, there was a British officer, a guy called Hugh Payne Best, who was in Buchenwald with him. And it was just this guy, Payne Best's description of this German pastor, Bonhoeffer. And which really struck me. He just said, you know, in the middle of the prison, which was, you can imagine, hell on earth, just said, this guy really stood out. And one thing he would do is that whenever he came in a room, whenever he met his guards or his torturers, he would always treat them with respect. He would say good morning to them and treat them like a human being, which is shocking in its own right. But Payne Best also had this description. He said, Bonhoeffer was different, just quite calm and normal, seemingly perfectly at his ease. He always seemed to me to diffuse an atmosphere of happiness, of joy in even the smallest event in life, and of deep gratitude for the mere fact that he was alive. His soul really shone in the dark desperation of our prison. He was one of the very few men I have ever met to whom God was real and ever close to him. And you look at someone like, whether it's Bonhoeffer, or you look at this lady that we looked at before, and you just think, how would I react? How would I be like this? But one of the clues in Bonhoeffer's life was that before the war, he was very, very passionate about Christian community. Not Christian nice community of, you know, the whole kind of niceness thing, but of real gritty, painful, forgiving community. And he wrote letters. He managed to get letters smuggled out of prison to his kind of congregation, split congregation back out. And one of the things he wrote, you know, very similar to scripture, in one of his letters, he just said, don't insist on your rights. Don't blame each other. Don't judge or condemn each other. Don't find fault with each other, but accept each other as you are and forgive each other every day from the bottom of your hearts. And before he was in prison, he wrote a famous book called The Cost of Discipleship. And in there he said, judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating. By judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil and to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are. And there's something about Bonhoeffer, and it can be the same for any one of us, somebody who day after day was choosing not to judge, choosing to move forward, choosing to forgive. And it's just like, Lord God, help me to choose this way day by day by day, and slowly by your Spirit to be conformed into your likeness. Let's pray. First of all, I just want to have a period of quiet. I just want to pray, actually, if there are people in our lives that, just let the Holy Spirit bring people to mind. If there are people for whom, actually, we're moving backwards and the Holy Spirit wants us to change gear and move forwards with them. Yeah, Father, I just pray that you speak to us and bring people to mind, Lord, if are people that we're poisoning ourselves over. Would you show us them, Lord God? And Lord, help us just right now to forgive them and bless them.
Yeah, Father, we pray for your grace, your power, your heart in those situations to live and act like you would. And Father, looking ahead to the future, we pray for your grace and your power and your passion to reach out to and move forward with those who hurt us, those who irritate us and criticize us. Lord, we pray, help us to be like you are and only move forward. Yeah, Holy Spirit, teach us. Amen.